Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, everybody. This is the Preacher and the Miracle Man live here at McDonald's. This is a big milestone. This is episode number 30. Can you believe it, folks? This is the 30th episode here of Preacher and the Miracle Man. And we're so glad to have you with us. Here's a little bit of where we are, then I'm going to get into what we have planned. First of all, we are at McDonald's at 1711 South Saginaw Road here in Midland. We're right across the road from Kmart store. We are just to the northwest of an Admiral gas station and southeast of the Disability Network for Mid-Michigan office. So, this is where we are. Now, we're in the back of the restaurant, kind of near the bathrooms. So if you're coming through, you're listening to us on your phone or on your laptop or whatever, and you're thinking, yeah, I think maybe I'll go to McDonald's, get some dinner or a drink or whatever. Hey, just come back and talk to us. We love having guests. We had one just last week. And so, yeah, we're here. We're in the back of the restaurant near the bathroom. So, yeah, come back and see us. So, what's the plan for the night? It's looking like this. We got some word we're going to read tonight from the great word of God. We're going to read the faith chapter again, and then we're going to go to Genesis 27 to read some about Jacob and Esau and a bit about what happened there. Esau made a threat about Jacob, and so we're going to read about that. You say, what else? We're going to pray for the wildfires in California. I really have it on my heart. 40 people have died. Hundreds of people are not accounted for right now. It's really become like really gruesome and really bad. And so we're going to pray over that. And on the other side, we got some sports stuff that we're going to get into tonight. Some of it. I'm going to talk about how I did on my predictions as far as how I have won, what went right in my predictions and what went wrong. And then we're going to do a little bit of a preview on the Midland Dow game. That is this Friday night at 7 at Midland Community Stadium. For anyone who is listening to this, who either in the area or is outside of the area and would like to come join us all for a great game, 2-7-1 teams. So that basically is the plan for tonight. Of course, we got a good old-fashioned McDonald's commercial along with our Coke versus Dr. Pepper. But before we get into any of those things, we're going to start with the word of prayer. Dear Jesus, I thank you for this great program you've blessed us with. I thank you for the listeners of this great program, Preacher and the Miracle Man. I thank you that in the name of Jesus that the listenership continues to grow. I thank you, Lord God, that money keeps pouring in this great equipment that I have need of. I thank you, Jesus, that you just show me what to say tonight. Show me what to say to encourage somebody, to save someone's life so that they can go to heaven and not go to hell. Show me, Lord God, like what I'm supposed to say tonight. I just thank you, Lord God, that you're the head of the show. Ultimately, you're the head of the show. It's not me, and it's not the preacher man. It's you, Lord God.
Amen.
So I pray that you would have your way on this program tonight. And while I'm on that, Lord God, I lift up this whole situation in Northern California with these wildfires. I pray that in the name of Jesus, they find out exactly what started all these fires. I call those every one of those fires contained right now in the name of Jesus. No more loss of life, no more damage, no more destruction, and that all those other several hundred people are accounted for once and for all. And I just claim in the name of Jesus that all recovery will go swiftly in the name of Jesus. And I claim right now that this weather that everybody's been dealing with this year would just settle down right now. All these winds, all these hurricanes, these fires, pray that in the name of Jesus that all this stuff just stops right now. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, time to get to open up and go to our wonderful faith chapter in Hebrews chapter 11. And one of our fantastic reverends of the church did a fantastic job last night, by the way, Sherry Benegas. She did a wonderful job talking about storms of life and talking about how, about the manifestation has already taken place, but that it's going to be brought to light. That's a great way that I can look at it with my healing. I hope that those of you who listen to this program, I hope that you too can, that you also can see what we're trying to portray and everything as we delve into the word and what God has to say about faith. Because it's great. I've been enjoying it. I hope all you listeners here, I hope everyone who's listening to the show is enjoying it as much as I am. Because I am really enjoying it. And we're talking about great faith because how many of you people know that if you need a miracle, that if you need a miracle, you need faith in order to get the miracle?
Yeah.
You have to have faith in order to get the miracle. With faith, you're not going to get your miracle. It's as simple as that. You're not, without faith, you're not getting it. Without faith, you can't please God. And yeah, it's so great. So, with that in mind, Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to begin as usual with our favorite, with our very own verse 1. No, I didn't write this. I didn't write the book, but foundation, what part of what we're talking about, how faith is a substance. But it's not a substance that you can go buy at the store. I can't go into Meijer here on Eastman after this program. I can't go into Meijer tonight and say, the customer service or wherever, ask the worker at the door, the greeter, hey, do you know where I can go buy some faith? it doesn't, in case you people didn't realize, it's not exactly how it works. That faith needs to come by hearing the word of God. Faith comes by listening to this program. It's one of the ways faith can come. But it's kind of what we've been talking about a lot. So, and I'm going to say to you guys what my pastor has been saying to all of us for the last several weeks. You got a Bible at home? And I'm going to read some verses. Open up the Bible and read these verses with me, please. Because that's the best way to get you guys to help get you guys to where you guys are going to put this all into practice, what I talk about. That's one way. But, yeah, we believe in participation. When I'm reading the word, you open the word. If I start singing a song, if me and Sam go into song or whatever, and we sing a worship song or whatever, you sing it with us if you know the lyrics.
Amen.
If somehow I was to take up an offering, I won't, but if I did, you give.
Come on, dude.
I know, but that's the way it is. It's the preacher and the Miracle Man show, yes, but it's ultimately part of it is good participation too.
Yeah, come on.
And we believe in that. So, without further ado, here we go, delving into the wonderful scriptures on faith. Right is right. That's exactly how I feel. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for, and the evidence of what we do not yet see. This is what those who came before us, my version says the ancients, but I like to say those who came before us, to explain what the ancients mean, that meant people like Isaac, Jacob, what have you. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Wasn't made out of what was visible. Like that faith in my eyes, that faith for this equipment I have need of, all those other things I believe in God for, faith so that I could live. When I was real little, because they said I was going to die several times, four different times, and I didn't. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice in what Cain did. By faith he was commended as a righteous man, and when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith he still speaks today, even though he is dead. By faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he would not experience death. It's powerful. He didn't experience death even.
Exactly.
Cool. It's cool. I hope when the rapture, after that, when the rapture comes, the same thing, it'll be the same way with us. So that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Together, faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him, he needs to first believe that he exists, I believe, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. I believe that too. By faith, Noah, when he was warned about things he did not yet see, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world, and he became heir with the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were with him for the same promise. For he was looking towards the city whose foundation and architect and his builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was enabled to be a father, was faithful of who had made the was barren to become a father because he considered himself faithful. He considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and him as good as dead, he became descendants of numbers as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. That's a lot. That's a lot of people. That'd be like if I were to go to the pool and I were to ask Hannah, how many people are here? And she would say, Rivers, it's as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. In the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. For those of you guys obviously don't know who Hannah is or was to me. Now, unfortunately, she announced that she will not be back next summer, but she was basically my favorite lifeguard at the Plymouth pool here in this town. We're a great outdoor pool. They have some really nice ladies and guys that work there. But personally, my favorite to talk to is the ladies, of course, because I'm a guy and a ladies man, single, and get married. Believe in God, the right person is going to come, of course.
Amen.
But, you know,
soon.
She was a nice lady, and I miss her already. But off that, onto the verses. That'd be all I would say to Vic, to stand on the seashore, like if she would have said that's how many people were here, you know, in the sky, and as countless as the land is the scene on the seashore. Or it could have been Mason. It could have been Anna, one of the other ones. It could have been, you know, Eric, one of the guys. Seashore, who knows? They'd be like that, you know. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. In the natural, they didn't receive them. They only saw them, but they welcomed these things from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and they were strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. He has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had seen him. It is through Isaac and your offspring that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned with God. He reasoned that God could raise the dead. And, figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. See, Isaac was the first person to be raised from the dead. Isaac, who was before the healing miracles of Jesus. So by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons, and he worshipped God as he leaned on top of his staff. And by faith, Joseph, when he was near the end of his years, he spoke about the Exodus of the Israelites from Egypt, and he gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses, his parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, even though he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of the Lord rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. Oh, I'd love to preach on that for a long time, but I don't have the time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as a greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible.
Wow.
By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, oh yeah, they were saved by all the great guards at Plymouth. The guys saved them while I talked to the girl guards. Does it say that? Shelley, did you find that in your Bible?
No.
That's right. It didn't say that.
No.
Than dry ground, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. Yep, they were drowned. Nope, they didn't have no guards to save them. They didn't have that. And the Egyptians, you know, they couldn't drive. They didn't have faith. Their point is, they didn't have the faith. They didn't have the faith in God in order to help them cross that Red Sea. And by faith, the people. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. Sometimes I like to tease about that and say it's like, you know, the college or high school marching band where they just played, you know, all the time while they're marching around, and, you know, they're just playing, they're rocking out, doing their knee lifts, what have you. Hopefully the people are actually participating and clapping as the band's playing rather than just sitting there looking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wish a lot of them don't. I don't know why, but it doesn't say that either. It actually says the people had marched around them for 7 days. Of course, they weren't saying a word. And Joshua says they were instructed not to say a word. They had to just to march quietly.
Yep.
Do you think they're... Do you think there was a band there? I don't. You don't think there was a band? Just the trumpets, but no marching band? You don't think they had the, you don't think they were doing knee lifts and all that stuff? Remember those knee lifts, Shelley? Don't you remember seeing them on that field, those knee lifts?
Uh-huh.
Those kids that did the knee lifts, remember? I don't think they were doing any of that, were they?
No.
After the people had marched around them for 7 days, and then on the last day, of course, they had to... Do it 7 times in 1 day. After the first 6 days, it was once a day. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, she was not killed with those who were disobedient to God. And what more shall I say? I do not have the time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith he conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, and he quenched the fury of the flames, and he escaped the edge of the sword. Whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle. And he routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were, they were tortured, and they refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, whilst others were chained and they were put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins. They were destitute. They were persecuted and they were mistreated. The world was not worthy. The world was not worthy of them. And they wandered in Egypt, in deserts and mountains, and in caves, and in holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Now, before I do the next verses, I am going to do a fantastic commercial. This is my favorite one to do. And this is
Empty Dr. Pepper. Because I drank it all. Because it's so good.
My Coke is still better than his Dr. Pepper. But the reason it still has much stuff left in it as it does is because of all that time I was gabba, 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 gabba.
Listen to this sound now. That's the sound of an empty fry box.
Because someone ate all their fries.
Yep.
And
this is
living proof of America's favorite fries, McDonald's. All available at a McDonald's near you. Price and participation may vary, of course, that when I say that price thing, I'm absolutely right, because when looking at that mobile app thing, at many restaurants now, you can do the mobile ordering, and when you click on the start an order thing, you know, for a certain McDonald's. Here, their large fry, for example, is $2.39 plus tax, which makes it out to be $2.53. But at some McDonald's in, like, Alabama, Mississippi, at a particular McDonald's I looked at, it was only $1.99 plus tax for a large fry. The same as what they are for a medium here. I think you can thank lower minimum wages in these states for some of that, along with other factors. Certainly they're just cheaper down south, I guess. That plays a part in it, I'm sure. But medium Coke, at the extreme vast majority of McDonald's in this country, still only a dollar plus tax. The main ones I know of that are not participating is mainly just ones in airports. But again, I will say it again, in case there's some others out there who don't do the dollar promotion, is that price and participation may vary. Check with the restaurant for details. So, of course, with the medium, of course, with the any size soda for a dollar, that, of course, is limited time off. Price and participation may vary. See store for details. Now, we are going to open up the book of Genesis, chapter 27, and we're going to find out what happened to Jacob. What did Esau try to do? So we're going to take a look. Sorry about this few seconds of dead air. I was just finding my place. We're starting with verse 1 of Genesis chapter 27. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son. And he said to him, "My son, here I am," he answered. Isaac said, I am now an old man, and I do not know the day of my death. Now then, get your weapons, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like, and bring it to me to eat, so that I may give you my blessing before I die." Now Rebecca was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. When Esau left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebecca said to her son Jacob, "Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat, so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die.' Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me 2 choice young goats, so that I can prepare some tasty food for your father, just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father to eat, so that he may give you his blessing before he dies." Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "But my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I'm a man of smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing." His mother said to him, "My son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me." So he went and got them and brought them to his mother. And she prepared the tasty food just the way his father liked it. Then Rebekah took the best clothes, and Esau, her older son, which she had in the house. She put them on her younger son, Jacob. She also covered his hands with the smooth part of his neck of the goatskins, with the goatskins. Then she handed to her son Jacob the tasty food and the bread she had made. He went to his father and said, "My father." "Yes, my son," he answered. "Who is it?" Jacob said to his father, "I am your son, your firstborn Esau. I have done for you what you have told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game, so that you may give me your blessing." Isaac blessed his son. Isaac asked his son, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" "The Lord your God gave me success," he replied. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come here so that I can touch you, my son, to know whether you really are my son Esau or not." Ooh, that kind of raises a red flag.
Dad knows. There's no way around it.
That basically means he kind of knows better. Jacob weren't close to his father, Isaac, who touched him, and he said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob." Uh-oh. The voice is the voice of Jacob. Oh, no! But the hands are the hands of Esau. He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he blessed him. "Are you really my son Esau?" he asked. "I am," he replied. Oh, that'd be like a girl had the voice. She didn't have the voice. That'd be like if those were two daughters. One had the voice, one didn't have the voice. Of my daughters, I'd be like, you're fibbing me. You have the voice. Or you don't have the voice. She does. But you're however, you know. Then he said, "My son, bring me some of your game to eat so that I may give you my blessing." Jacob brought it to him, and he ate. And he brought some wine, and Isaac drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come here, my son, and kiss me." So he went to him, and he kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you with heaven's dew and of earth's restless in abundance of grain and new wine. May nations spare you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and may those who bless you be blessed." After Isaac finished blessing him, and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, his brother Esau came in from hunting. He too prepared some tasty food and brought it to his father. Then he said to him, "My father, sit up and eat some of my game, so that you may give me your blessing." His father Isaac blessed him. Who are you?" "I'm your son," he answered. "Your firstborn Esau." Isaac trembled violently, and he said, "Who was it then that hunted tasty game, and he brought it to me? I ate it just before you came, and I blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed." When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me too, my father." But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing." That's why part of why Jacob, the word Jacob means deceiver. Esau said, "Isn't he rightly named Jacob? He has deceived me these two times. He took my birthright, and now he's taken my blessing." I'm turning the page. "He's taken my blessing." Then he asked, "Haven't you prepared any blessing for me?" Isaac answered, "Esau, I have made him Lord over you, and I have made all his relatives his servants, and I have sustained him with grain and new wine. So what can I possibly do for you, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me too, my father." Then Esau wept aloud. from Isaac answered him, "Your dwelling will be away from the earth's riches, away from the dew of heaven above. You will live by the sword, and you will serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you will throw his yoke from off your neck." Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. He said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." When Rebekah was told what her older son Esau had said, she sent for her younger son Jacob and said to him, "Your brother Esau is consoling himself with the thought of killing you. Now then, my son, do what I say. Go at once. No, flee at once to my brother Laban in Haran. Stay with him for a while until your brother's fury subsides. When your brother is no longer angry with you and forgets what you did to him, I'll send word for you to come back from there. Why should I lose both of you in one day?" Then Rebekah said to Isaac, "I'm disgusting with living because of these Hittite women. If Jacob takes a wife from among the women of this land, the Hittite women like these, my life will not be worth living anymore." So what we just read about was how Esau was really mad because Jacob took the blessing, and how his mom actually believed the trick at first, and how his dad believed it, and how they put some of the clothes of Esau and put them on Jacob. Like, they let that lying and stuff go on. They should have never bought into that. If you believe in God for your miracle in your life, you can't be doing that kind of stuff to God. You tell him, "Yeah, I live right. I do what I'm supposed to do. I go to church every service. Well, how about if you're barely going to church? That's not telling the truth. What I mean by that is, if you barely go to church and you say, "I never miss a service," you're not telling the truth. You're not. You're deceiving. That's why Jacob means deceiver. Because Jacob deceived Esau. Esau was not happy about it. He still got the blessing, though, of his father. Jacob still got the blessing of his father, where Esau didn't. And Esau was real mad about it. He threatened to kill Jacob. And then Jacob has these 12 sons that we'll read about later. And they go to, and a bunch of stuff happens that, as we keep reading, we'll get through to all that. But you can't be deceiving. You can't deceive other people. The Bible talks about deception. It talks about how in the last days, how there'll be lots of deception going on. There'll be lots of, "Here God is. He's over here. Here's the great preacher," or "Here's the great preacher over there, their church, yeah, this address, yeah, yeah." And it's not the right one. You gotta watch out for deception. You guys have to watch out that no one would deceive you. You can't fall prey to this kind of stuff. This deception stuff will hurt you really bad. Even these telemarketers will deceive you, making you think you've won this great vacation. You know what? When they do that, I just stopped right out. Knowing that it's probably a scam. But my point's not about the phone numbers. My point's about this deception stuff. And the deception. You can't fall prey to this kind of stuff. The Bible says, it warns us that in these days that deception will be rampant all over the place. But you can't fall for it. Falling for it just allows you to get more deceived. That's why I don't fall for all these things that people try to bring, you know. I hope you do the same thing. And that deception thing leads me to this. God's word's the only true action. I mean, the only true answer to all these things. God's word's the only true answer. People think the government and other people have all the answers. They don't. They don't. I don't know what's going to happen with Iran. I don't know what's going to happen with North Korea. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know, you know, but the word of God is the answer. No, it doesn't say what's going to happen with Iran, what's Trump going to do with the Iran deal, what's going to happen with North Korea. The Bible doesn't exactly say that, but I know one thing. We're going to be okay. Whether that thing leads to the rapture or Armageddon, we'll have to see. We're very close, though. We're closer than we've ever been before, folks, to the rapture. I think, in all likelihood, the rapture will happen in my lifetime. Will it be a few months? Will it be a couple of years? Will it be 30, 40, 50 years? I don't know. Just have to always be ready, because the Bible tells us that we know not the day or the hour of which Jesus will come. There's one thing, though, you all must do before it happens. You really should do it now. It is ask Jesus into your heart. Invite him into your heart. Ask him. He'll be your personal Lord and Savior. He'll be the best friend you could ever have. He goes wherever you go. Wherever you go. To work, to the coffee shop, whatever. No, he's not a human being. He's much beyond that. But he can be there with you. He'll be such a great help for you. But you got to let him. And when you accept him into your heart, you got to allow him to move. You got to ask him to move. You got to pray to him. And all this stuff I talk about, faith and miracles and that, none of this stuff's going to happen to you if you don't accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And what's the greatest miracle of all? It's the miracle of salvation. It's greater than any healing miracle, though I know of many. It's greater than me having I'm finding a part for my left ear so that my left ear could work, though that was great. It's greater than my hands being healed from warts, and that was great. Greater than me being healed of colon cancer, that was great. Greater than me being freed from that spirit of deafness, that was great. But this salvation is eternal. My body is not eternal. Your body is not eternal. Your money is not eternal. Your business if you own a business. Your business, your job, it's not eternal. Salvation and the relationship with God is eternal. That's why we go to church so often. That's why we go to church so much. That's why, you know, marriage to God, you can't just, you know, flip-flop through this life. These are serious dates. So, you're listening to this program. Or say, yeah. That was an awesome word, brother. And you want to get saved? You want to ask Jesus into your life? Or you want to rededicate your life to Jesus? You can call us at this special number and we'll pray with you. This number is 215-383-2810. Again, that number is 215-383-3810. This is such an amazing thing. Those of you who are listening, I was so ready to get into sports, but the Lord basically just told me, you know, you talk about salvation, you need to lead them in to it with a prayer before I go into the rest of the evening. So, I am going to do what God just told me. So,
Dear Jesus,
I want to be made new.
I want to be made new.
I want to be different.
I want to be different.
Make me like you, Jesus.
Make me like you, Jesus.
I come to you, Lord. Fresh and new.
Fresh and new.
Save me from my sin.
Save me from my sin.
And deliver me.
And deliver me.
From.
From.
Don't just say from. I'm thinking here for a second. Deliver me from all my past transgressions.
Deliver me from all my past transgressions.
Show me, Lord God, what you would have me do next. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord.
And I will dwell in the house of the Lord.
Forever.
Forever.
Amen.
Amen.
See, folks, that was painful. Excuse me. That was painless. That was painless. It didn't hurt. It didn't feel like one of those IVs going in your arm at the doctor's office if you need an IV or any other means of pain. You just changed your life because you did what I told you to do. And because I obeyed God and didn't just do what I wanted to do next. I obeyed God and did what he would have me do. And that is to lead people into the prayer of salvation. And because salvation is the ultimate miracle. Salvation should be the number one goal of every church service. It should be the ultimate goal of every Christian radio program out there. It should be. Everything that's Christian, it should be the ultimate goal, is salvation. Because that's the greatest miracle you can have. And it is the one insurance policy that can get you to heaven. But you got to live right. You can't blaspheme the Holy Ghost. If you do that, you basically cancel your salvation. You won't go to heaven if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit. But anything else, you ask God to forgive you of your sins, you'll be in right standing with him again. And when that rapture comes, you'll be in heaven, baby, with all of us. And we're going to have fun up there. You'll have all the, and don't worry, folks, you'll have all the favorite foods you like, whatever they are, whether they be healthy stuff or whether they be donuts, whatever. We get to praise and worship like none other. It's going to be such a party. Can't wait. So,
amen.
Now, folks, no taste of heaven. Brought to you by Coca-Cola. You can say, yes, I survived another challenge from the Miracle Man. I survived another challenge from the Miracle Man. And we survived. Kind of like how Pastor said, you know, I survived another Mark Buckley sermon. You know, that's why I said I survived another challenge by the Miracle Man. So, now, let's start with football. And we first begin with college football. And we start with number 19, Michigan in Indiana to take on the Indiana Hoosiers. I thought Michigan would come back and just beat Indiana handily. Yes, Michigan did beat Indiana, but not the way I thought they would. I thought it would be like 35-21 or something like that. Maybe a 35-18. But 27-20 in overtime. Michigan in overtime. First play of overtime, Michigan touchdown. Then they defend Indiana nicely and keep them out of the end zone through overtime, for which Michigan is able to win 27-20. So, where is Michigan now? 5-1, which includes 2-1 in the Big Ten. They are one spot actually below Michigan State. I can't believe Michigan State was able to make it into the top 25 this year. I thought they would be 6-6 is all I thought they would possibly be this season. Because I predicted when the season was starting what I thought teams would be like. And I saw Michigan State as 6-6. Sorry, folks, that thing was really loud. But I saw Michigan State as being 6-6. It looks like I underestimated Michigan State. This leads me right into Michigan State. Michigan State at Minnesota. Michigan beat Minnesota to the tune of 31-24. Nice, good defense by Michigan State. Was able to keep Minnesota from coming back, take the lead, or win. They were unable to do so. In fact, at one point, it was 30-14. At one point, they were down by 16 points, Minnesota was, because Michigan State was on a pretty nice roll. Great credit to Mark D'Antonio and what he's been able to do at Michigan State. To make stuff out of the two-star recruits that he gets, the two- and three-star recruits, whereas the other coach, which is the Michigan coach, and Jim Harbaugh, he gets all the four- and five-star recruits. But this year, It's kind of feeling to me like Michigan State just might be better than Michigan this year. Is it that much of a difference? No, not really. Spate update for Michigan. Spate is still out. He is still injured. Now, we have some major upsets that I must that I'm going to update you on. Defending national champion Clemson. They lost to a Syracuse team that wasn't even ranked by 3 points. End of the game. Syracuse scores. They win the football game. Syracuse loses. Also, let me see. Oklahoma lost. That was last week, but that was your really huge upset, was that Clemson losing. Auburn, ranked number 10, they lost to LSU, who wasn't even ranked, which creates a shakeup in the SEC a little bit. Alabama, still ranked number 1, no surprise. Penn State, who was idle, number 3. Michigan goes to Penn State on Saturday. And to be honest with you, I don't see a win for Michigan. I think Penn State's going to win, beat Michigan, stay number 3. Michigan State could possibly fall out of the top 25. I think that's what you're going to see, folks. Ohio State, since lost to Oklahoma, is really running it up, doing a fantastic job, firing at all cylinders, going crazy. Think you're going to see them work their way back into the top 5 eventually, folks. I really do. Wisconsin's still doing really good. So, top 3 three teams of the Big Ten currently, based on where they're ranked in the U.S., Penn State, number 3, Wisconsin, number 6, Ohio State, number 8. They were 9, now they're 8. Do I think that will stay the same? For right now, yes, come Sunday. Now, I'm going to research Penn State a bit more so I can know for Thursday when I do my big predictions as far as what's going to happen there with Michigan. So you had Michigan, you had Michigan State, you had those upsets. No! You think I'm going to go to NFL? Well, no. I'm going to do high school first. Let's start first from often start with the game I was at, if I was at one. But this time I'm not going to start with that. Instead, I'm going to start with Flint Township, where Dow High on Friday night was in Flint to take on the Carmen Ainsworth Cavaliers. I predicted Dow was going to win, but it was going to be close. Oh, yes, Dow won. No, it was not close. 45-14 Dow. Dow right now is looking really tough. They're looking really tough. They're doing almost everything right, I feel. So it's really looking good for Dow. Jason Watkins is really proud, looking forward to the great matchup on Friday with his rival across town, which I will get to in a minute. He has two great quarterbacks. One's a senior, one's a junior. Sometimes that two quarterback system can make it real tough on opponents. I'm sure you've seen the two quarterback system before, Preacher Man, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think it's a lot sometimes tougher to defend those teams? Or does it depend on the quality of the quarterbacks?
Yeah, it depends on the quality of the quarterbacks.
Some.
Because if you got two and it works, yeah. Then.
If you have one that is ready and one that's not, then that can kind of give the opponent too much time.
Where'd the game?
That can give the opponent too much time. You know, in this case, that could be middle. So Dow update. Where are they right now? Dow was able to clinch a tie of the Saginaw Valley League Blue Division Championship. They are co-champions with Flint Common Ainsworth at 5-1 in league. As Dow's only loss on the year, it's also an in-league loss, but that loss was to Bay City Central. At Midland Community Stadium back on the 31st of August at that game that I was at, where Dow pulled off, or Bay City Central pulled off that win over Dow in double overtime. So, sets up a great rivalry with that school across town, which I am revealing literally in like 5 or 6 seconds. Well, now we go to Midland High School Stadium, where the Midland Comics. See, I told you it was going to be like 6 seconds, and it was just about that I revealed, you know? Yes, the Midland High Comics were taking on the Lapeer Lightning. I said we would win. I said it would be close, and yes, I was nervous. I didn't think Midland would have as resounding of a victory as they got. 35-14, Midland over Dow. First time Midland was able to beat Lapeer since Lapeer East and Lapeer West merged and became one school and then joined the Saginaw Valley League as the Red Division. Midland 45-14, Mettner, good night as quarterback, even though he lost two fumbles. Martin Money did a pretty good job on the running. His receivers, one of them was last name was Mitchell Reed. He caught a couple touchdowns per Dow from Mettner, Kate Mettner. Great senior quarterback. Great game put on by Midland. So, where is Midland? Midland ends up finishing the Saginaw Valley League Red portion of the season with a 6-0 Red Division record. Midland was able to win all of the games in the Saginaw Valley League Red, so they are the champions outright. In second place, you have Davison. Then you have Lapeer. As Lapeer started off 4-0 in the division, but lost to Davison and then Midland. So, Midland will play on Friday night against Dow High at Midland Community Stadium. Dow is the home team this year. Here's what's on the line. Midland 7-1. The Comics are 7-1. They started off the season with a loss by the score of 42-20 to Traverse City West at a game that I had showed up to first. So, but by the score of 42-20. Ever since that loss to Traverse City West, Midland has won on a 7-game winning streak. So 7-0. Ever since that loss. And quite honestly, I said earlier in the season a couple different times that we would lose at least 3 games this year in the regular season. I'm happy to tell you that we've only lost one. I'm very happy to tell you we only lost one, because I try to be unbiased and And I promise you I will be when I make that, when I make that pick Thursday. No, it doesn't mean I'm going to pick Dow. But it does. But the only reason why I can have this bias is because I actually went to Midland High. For those of you who don't know where I went to high school, yes, I went to Midland High. So I am. So I really am a comic. Not hurt. I really am a comic. More so than a Charger. I really am. So that's why I talk about Midland a little bit deeper than I do Dow. So Midland 7-1, including a 7-0 run that we hope to continue. Dow, though, has put together a great run of their own as they started off with a win. Then they lost to Bay City Central, but they've went on a 6-game winning streak since then, too. So Midland's on a 7-game winning streak. Dow's on a 6-game winning streak. Unfortunately, one of these two have to lose by the time the night's over. Can't end in a tie. I'd love to see the Midland-Dow game end in a tie. I would love that so much. I really would. I'd be like, do we have to have overtime? Can't we just end it? Or end it like after 3 overtimes and it be tied at whatever it is. And then they just decide by flipping a coin. I would love that so much. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. And they're going to play until they're the winner if they have to. Someone has to lose, unfortunately. And several times over the last few years when we've had games like this where all this bunch of stuff was on the line, one of the Dow's coach was kind of dismayed last year in the news by saying that unfortunately one of these two teams have to lose. As Midland lost. But it's just what happens. Unfortunately, one of these two has to lose. And who is that going to be? I'm still thinking about it. I still got to think about it. Folks, it's going to come down to this. Who's going to turn over the ball the least? Who is going to have the most defensive sack the opponent's quarterback? Who's going to be sacked the least? That's going to be, in my mind, a determining factor as to who wins this ballgame. Right now, I can't say who that is. I can't. I still got to brainstorm it and think about it. Let you know when I do next show. Well, if you look at points allowed and points scored, you have Dow with 292 points scored, 104 allowed. Midland, 288 scored, 140 allowed. That favors Dow, but there's some other things that can favor Midland. So this is, in my mind, one of the toughest Midland-Dow games for... I'm not talking about... It's tough for Midland, it's easy for Dow. Or, it's easy for Midland, tough for Dow. Not this year. This year, in my mind, just might be the toughest Midland-Dow game ever. And I mean it. Because first time in history that both of these teams are on 6-plus game winning streaks. So it's going to be a packed house Friday night. Hope some of you can make it. Better get there early, otherwise you'll be parking in Auburn or Sanford. or something like that. In fact, might not get a seat. I really hope that none of those students or players kneel. I really hope they don't. There's been threats that some might kneel. I really hope that they can look over, really? that they can put that behind them and just look forward to that possibly the greatest Midland-Dow game ever. Honestly, if I was like from Detroit or another part of the state and I was even from this area and I heard about this game, I think there's a chance. I think there's a chance I would still be there. I do. I think there's a chance I'd still come up or come down, based on wherever I was from, and watch it. Or kind of like, if I would have known, like if I lived anywhere near Muskegon, I would have been at that Muskegon versus Monash War Games Friday, because that was a good game. You had two undefeated teams. What? What?
Nothing. You just keep going. You're doing good. I'm just solving technical issues.
But.
You're all right, Bill.
I didn't say what. I said but. But, you know, yeah, again, two great teams. Two really great teams going at it together. And it's going to be a great game. And whoever wins will have great momentum going into the playoffs. So, there you have it. Now, it's time for the NFL. And here we go. Thursday night, you did have Panthers over the Redskins, as I predicted. It was pretty close, though. And then Cam Newton did a good job, as he normally does, in Carolina. So, what else do you expect? Then, the Lions. Oh, the Lions. What happened? What happened, Stafford? Why did you throw? Why did you have five different times that you lost the ball? Two of which were lost fumbles, one of which was taken back to the house for six. And then you threw three interceptions at the Saints that the Saints were able to catch three different times. The ball was picked off in a 52-38 defeat in a game that I don't even think was that close. At one point, it was 45-10 Saints. 35 points. They had gotten it back to a 7-point difference, but were unable to get any more. Instead, the Saints go down the field and score one more time, make it 52-38 Saints. I can't remember the last time the Lions gave up 50 points. Midland hasn't given up 52 points in a very long time that I know of. Possibly ever. They gave up 50 a couple of years ago when they lost to Mount Pleasant, but they scored 42. But yeah, 52? That's a lot of points to give up in the NFL. And I thought their defense was one of the best in the league. No turnovers that returned back for points the last couple of weeks. So it's really went downhill. So what has happened? Also, you had some injuries. You had Stafford get hurt. He didn't have to leave the game, but you could tell he was in pain from what happened to his shoulder last week. In addition, you had Grover had to be taken out. Golden Tate had to be taken out with an injury, and someone else had to be taken out of the game with an injury. So, what's next for the Lions? A bye week. The Lions have a bye week on this coming week, and they need it. So they can get back healthy and hopefully get on a nice winning streak, because they're going to need it, because right now they're 3-3. So, Packers lost to Minnesota.
All right.
But if you're a Packers fan, there's bad news, boy. Aaron Rodgers, possibly done for the season, as he has a broken collarbone. Broken collarbone.
Oops.
Which Mandy had one, Shelly.
Yes, she did.
How long was she hurt? How long was she in a cast or whatever?
Nope, they don't cast it. They can't do nothing for it. Has to heal on its own.
How long was it broke for?
Oh, I say 6 weeks or so.
So it'd be just like an arm?
Yeah.
Why is everything that breaks pretty much 6 weeks? It's just how the body works or something?
could be, yeah.
Is that why a break is always 6 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Are some breaks longer than 6 weeks, or is six about the norm for pretty much everything?
Depends on the break. Could be longer. Depends on the person, if they do what they're supposed to do.
Is six generally that so-called median normal?
Mm-hmm.
But in a very big amount of time, it turns out to be 6 weeks.
I can't believe you remember that, because she's 20, and this happened when she was a
baby. I remember what happened, though. I do.
I know.
Because
it was a long time ago.
It was, that's what. But anyhow, yeah, broken collarbone. So the Packers lost to the Vikes. And so, another big note, Chiefs lost. The Chiefs were taken out by the, Chiefs lost yesterday, and so there are no more undefeated teams left. Bears beat the Ravens, which was kind of a surprise to me, because I didn't think the Bears were even good this year. And then you have the lowly Browns, who continue to lose, 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 lose. Think that maybe that's all they know. I wish they weren't, but that's all they know, apparently, is lose, lose, lose. Who plays football tonight? Who plays football tonight? NFL. Siri.
Siri's the best. Here, you ready?
NFL.
Dallas Cowboys and the Minnesota Vikings.
No, tonight. Who plays tonight, though?
Almost there. The next game is the Colts at the Titans.
Colts.
And the Titans.
Colts at Tennessee tonight to take on the Titans. You have Colts at Titans tonight. Kind of a mediocre game. I think the Titans are one because of that Tennessee. Colts aren't the same as they were a few years ago. It's going to be a while, I think, before they really get back to what they had been. So that's what I think it's going to be.
So this means when the Lions play Green Bay on Monday night, we might actually win.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Possible. Anything's possible.
If we have any players left that aren't hurt, right?
Oh, yeah. If we have anybody left that's not hurt, we better. We got to get healthy. That's the bottom line. I mean, the Lions do. No, but I'm talking about the Lions football. What, McDonald's? Yeah, that's right. We get to eat at McDonald's while they get, you know, uninjured. Because how are we going to watch them if they're all hurt? So if one of them's hurt, they're not going to be able to play football. So, anyway, there you have. And then now, before I go, a Red Wings update. Nope, World Series first. So there's actually two things to get to. Baseball, what's going on in baseball? Well, Yankees, Astros. Astros are up 2-0. You had Verlander with an amazing game on Saturday night. Just fantastic. Complete game, 5-hitter. 2-1 is your score. Astros over Yankees. What, tonight, today, right now, as we speak, I believe. It's Houston at Yankees for Game 3 and 4. What do I see? I think the Yankees will win at least one of these, and then they'll end up going back to Houston. And then they'll finish it off in Houston, I believe. I really want them to. I really want the Astros to go to the World Series. It can be a great thing for Houston as they recover from Harvey. Now, we go to the NLCS side of things. And what do we have? We have the Dodgers taking on the Chicago Cubs. And Dodgers up 2-0. They have the day off. They're traveling to Chicago to continue the series. Last night, Dodgers win on a 3-game walk-off home run, 4-1. And the game has been 1-1 in the bottom of the ninth. I actually listened to him when that was listening when that home run was hit. Good one by the Dodgers. But ultimately, on the NL side, I want the Cubs to be in. So let's go Cubs. What do I think the Cubs will do in Chicago? I think they'll win at least one game in Chicago. At least one. I won't go any further than saying at least one. Can they win two? I don't know. I hope. Does that mean they will? No. No. NHL. Red Wings get a win. Two wins, actually, on that last road trip. They won in Las Vegas and in Phoenix. So they're actually surprisingly kind of having a surprisingly decent record at this point of the season, considering all the lost players and everything. So, Red Wings' second home game of the year tonight at Little Caesars Arena. Pistons! They have their first home game of the regular season Wednesday night at Little Caesars Arena. What do I see this year for the Pistons? Well, it's the same as last year. I think either they won't make the playoffs or will finish by being an 8th seed in the playoffs on a probable loss in the first round of the playoffs if they make it. You'll all start getting Pistons updates starting when the season starts on Wednesday. So, that, my friends, is going to close out the show. I hope I did not bore any of you. I hope you guys learned a lot about faith from this. I really hope that you guys enjoyed this and learned from it. So, until tomorrow night at 5:30, God first, God always. Good night, everybody. So long, everybody.
Just like that, huh?
Yep.
You find out.